The need is great. We live in an age and in a time where we are so privileged to have God's word, to have it, to hold it, to open it, to have the education to be able to read it, and we can pray and talk to God and ask him to give us understanding, to, through his spirit, instruct us, guide us. We truly are living in a privileged time. Throughout Bible history, the priests, they were the ones that learned how to read. They're the ones that had access to the scriptures. And the majority of the people, they didn't have access to the scriptures, so they had to come together and listen to the scriptures be read and unfolded. And that was their only access. They memorized. They shared scripture in their family. They prayed. They did what they could to know God in this way. But us, we have access to the whole entirety of God's word. We really are blessed. We really are privileged. But there are still countless millions in this world that do not have access to God's word. And the people group that we work with, the deaf, they have no Bible. So this translation project that I've been involved in now for the past 8 years is so, so important. It's not even, just to help you understand, it's not even that they don't have access to God's word, because they don't, other than the portions that we've been able to translate. But it goes beyond that. In the English language, we have a vocabulary. Now, we all don't use this vocabulary, but we have access to over 300,000 English words. And from those words, we construct complex sentences, sometimes simple sentences, but we have lots of words, lots of ways to describe things, to paint visual pictures with words so that people can understand. Then you take sign language. Sign language here in the United States does not have anywhere near 300,000 signs, so it is a language with fewer words, but then it adds concepts to those. So you say something and it communicates a whole conceptual idea. And then we go down to the deaf in Bolivia. I know that this is true for many, many deaf people groups around the world, but I cannot speak for them. I don't have the experience with those people groups, but speaking for Bolivia, Bolivia has 2,000 recognized official words in their vocabulary. So go from over 300,000 for the English language, for communication, and then you take that and you shrink that to 2,000 recognized words. And of those 2,000, there's only a couple hundred that have anything to do with religious things. Can you imagine your Bible being made up of 200 words? So our last 18 years in, pardon me, 18 years in Bolivia working with the deaf population, it's not just been a lack of God's word, but it is a lack of language. They don't even have, the language doesn't exist to communicate to them who God is, what he did through Jesus, his son, the gift of salvation, the surety of our salvation, the entirety of the Bible. They don't even have the language to communicate this. So for the past almost two decades now, we have been trying to bring the light of the gospel, to a dark and needy people group. We've been generating Bible language finding a way to explain God's word and generating language that in turn we teach to our deaf people. And it's been exciting to see that language propagate as they themselves, as it hits home, this means something to me, and now I have a way that I can communicate this truth to others that are living in darkness. The need is so, so great. So when you guys pray for your missionaries, sometimes you don't even know all the needs, all the burdens, all the depth and the breadth of it all. But when you pray for us, we desperately need you to lift us before the throne of grace, for the Father of all mercies, the God of all strength, the God of all wisdom, to give wisdom, to give knowledge, to guide and direct our paths. Just as you ought to desire for God to guide and direct your path, we desperately need that as well. We do not have a whole lot of time. Pastor mentioned that there's a deacon meeting as well. But if you take your Bible and turn with me to, for a few moments, Psalm chapter 128. Psalm 128, and we'll take a look at the first verse. Psalm 128, verse 1. Says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Let's take a moment and pray. Dear God, help us. Help us as your children to have a right perspective, a right understanding of who you are, what you've done for us, the amazing redemption, the fact that yes, there are signs, Pastor spoke of you coming again, you coming and with this earthquake and Jesus coming and setting foot on the Mount of Olives and entering through the gate. God, you are coming. We do not know the time, we do not know the hour, but every day we look at everything that goes around is going on around us and we say, God, is it today? The time feels close. God, help us to live with an urgency. Help us to walk in wisdom, to fear you and to walk in your ways. God, I pray as we take a couple moments here this evening that you would just direct our paths, direct our minds. I pray that you would encourage us to keep on keeping on because you are worthy. Help us to give our lives a living sacrifice to you, to follow you, God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. So Psalm 128:1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. It's kind of restated in a slightly different fashion in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We've got to fear God. We've got to have the right perspective of God. When we understand who he is, when we understand what it is that he's done for us, and when we understand that he has a plan for us, if he didn't have a plan for us, he'd have already taken us home. But he's left, we continue to be here because he's told us to be a light. He's told us to be salt. He's told us to go. He's told us to proclaim. So God has a purpose for us. And when we understand who he is, we'll be willing to submit ourselves to his plan for our lives. And as we submit ourselves to him and his plan to our lives, as we fear the Lord, the next step would be to walk in his ways. And we mentioned Proverbs earlier. Well, as we walk in God's ways, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13, Moses wrote, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" That's a great question. We should say, okay, Luke, okay, insert your own name. What does the Lord our God require of us? The answer, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. We've got to fear God. We've got to walk in his ways. We've got to love him with all our heart, all our soul, keep his commandments, write them upon our heart. And a lot of times we say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, but we do know some things that God wants us to do. And I'm the first person to admit it. Even though you know what you're supposed to do, how often do we not do it? And we're waiting for the next thing. Rather than spinning the wheels waiting for God to say, what's next? We need to be doing what we know we're supposed to be doing right now. We know that you guys are acting on that obedience by being here tonight. It says, forsake not the gathering together. This is the body of Christ. We're supposed to come together. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to grow together. We're supposed to sharpen each other so that we can go out back into the world and proclaim God. We need to be doing what we know we're supposed to be doing, and God will direct our paths. When we went to Bolivia, we did not think death. But you know what? God knew before we ever even got to Bolivia that we were going to be working with the deaf. I met my first deaf friend at the age of 8. I grew up with him. I learned language. When I went to university, I was placed with another deaf guy. I was roommates for him for 2 years. And then I was placed with a hard of hearing guy for another year and a half. I was involved in a deaf interpreting ministry. I started the deaf interpreting ministry at what is our sending church. God had allowed me to be surrounded by deaf people. He had prepared me. But that's not what we thought we were going to be doing when we went to Bolivia. We assumed Spanish, hearing people, unreached people groups, yes. But God had a plan. He always has a plan. He has a plan for us, and that's the point. As we have the right understanding of who God is, as we submit ourselves to him and his will, and then we obey his commandments, walk in his ways, he will direct our paths. All the way back to my first year of college, there was a small group of deaf, 4 or 5 deaf people, and a missionary lady that did not know sign language, but decided, I'm going to try to learn some sign language. There's this people group that don't know you, and these ones, they've made some sort of expression of faith, but they need you. That little group started praying. They prayed for 10 years. 10 years. God, bring someone here that can communicate the truth of God's word in our language. I didn't even know people were praying for me all the way back then. Fast forward 10 years later, and God introduced us to a needy people group who had been praying, pleading with him. If we would just fear the Lord with all our heart and walk in his ways, he will direct our paths. Do what we know we need to do, and God can do great and mighty things. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for this time. Though it was short, I pray that your word would not return unto you void. God, I pray that you would continue to speak to me through your word. I pray that you'd continue to do a work here at Corinth Baptist. Thank you for their involvement in our ministry there in Bolivia for all these many years. Thank you for their involvement all across the globe. God, help them to be faithful to you. Help them to know that they can serve you here. They can serve you abroad. God, I pray that each person would check their heart and say, God, would you have me? Am I walking in your ways? God, what would you have me to do? Please direct my paths. God, we desperately need more laborers. God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, our lives, each person here. And may we submit ourselves to your will. God, we thank you. We love you. Help us to love you more. Help us to serve you more. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.